Please rise. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world." Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Dearest beloved of Christ Jesus, Martha is a very bold woman. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died." Her sister Mary says the very same thing just a few verses later from our text. So now I ask you to consider their statements. What do you hear? Do you hear, "Jesus, where were you? You should have been here"? There's a little reproach, a little rebuke, yet also there is faith that now that Jesus is here, all is well. Dearest beloved, this is the way of grief. The intent is that not just the intent this morning that this not be a fruit funeral sermon, but the context from St. John this morning is very clear. Martha and Mary are mourning the death of their brother and wishing that everything would have turned out much differently. And we do the very same thing. We may blame ourselves for not being able to do anything at all. We may blame ourselves for not being there. We may even have regrets. Yet sadly, all too often, we sinful human beings place our blame fully on God. We blame God because of his plan. We blame God because of his will. It just doesn't seem right to us. How could he, God, take my beloved one, the one whom I love so dearly? How could he do this so tragically? How could he do this? Jesus was about 2 days' journey from Bethany when he heard of the news that Lazarus was ill. Yet don't be tempted to think that Jesus wasn't in the know and that he didn't care. Jesus fully knew what was happening. And as you heard last week, as we talked about the healing of the blind man, Jesus was about to work a miracle for the glory of his Father in heaven. Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And then he told the 12, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe." There was so much more to our Lord's plan for Lazarus than simply healing him from a distance, which he certainly could have done. Jesus was about to display the glorious divine power in such a way that showed everyone that he is I am, that he is God, God incarnate. But he was going to act in his time. He was going to act according to his plan. He was going to act according to his will, and not according to Mary or to Martha, or to the Jews, or to you, or to me. And isn't it the same with you and me? Each of us has suffered greatly in tragic deaths of loved ones. There is not one here who hasn't suffered. There is not one human being who has not suffered the tragic death of a loved one. What was God thinking? We don't have to ask this question because we already know. Jesus has told us this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. Very soon you will sing from our closing hymn, "It is not death to die, to leave this weary road. Jesus, thou Prince of life, thy chosen cannot die. Like thee they conquer in the strife to reign with thee on high." Mary and Martha had certainly felt that Jesus had left them all alone. But he was thinking of them, and he was about to work a great miracle for them and in the presence of everyone. In our grief, we also know the promise of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Very often these words are spoken at funerals. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever lives and believes in me, he will never die." We know his promise to his disciples in the upper room. "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. I am going to prepare a place for you." We together have even just confessed, "I believe in the resurrection and the life, and the body and the life everlasting." Certainly we grieve. Absolutely, we are human beings. We grieve. But we do not grieve like those who have no hope. If we go back to the Garden of Eden, God spoke directly to Adam and Eve, and he said, "Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food until you return to the ground. For dust you are, and to dust you shall return." Adam and Eve's disobedience brought sin and death into the world. We deserve no promise. We deserve only judgment, a judgment of eternal death. But before God promised judgment, he promised a solution. It's called the first gospel, the proto-evangelium. He promised that he would send a Messiah. He would send a Savior, the seed of the woman who would crush the head of the serpent. Even to Adam and Eve, the ones who had done all of this, who had gave it all up for one single tree, God gave them a promise. Even though they and even though we did not and do not deserve his promise or his grace or his mercy or his forgiveness or his love. Yes, you and I endure the wages of sin because we deserve them. But you and I will not die. We will not die forever. That is also true of your dearly departed ones resting across Hume Road or wherever they may be resting. To the repentant thief hanging on the cross next to Jesus, our Lord said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." The thief deserved death. For the crime that he had committed, he was receiving his just desert. And he also deserved to die because of his sin. But Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise," because the thief repented. He believed that Jesus is his Lord. And it's the same with our loved ones who are only asleep, as Jesus has said. They are only resting. And at the moment that they died, they heard these words of Jesus, "Today you will be with me in paradise." We know this is the truth, For Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 16 that it is the truth, that at the moment of our death, we are in paradise with him. And so we listen to our Lord's promise today. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. We don't deserve this promise, but Jesus gives it to us anyway. And his promise, dear one, is paradise. So this morning we end with Martha's words. Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God who is coming into the world. Jesus has come, and he has defeated death by his death for you. He rose on the third day from death, guaranteeing you and me that we too will live, and that your loved one who is resting across Shum Road will also rise from their brief sleep. Our Lord Jesus, your resurrection and life, is and will keep his promise. He will come for you, and he will take you to where he is. So therefore, until he comes, we will continue to proclaim from this pulpit, from this church, that you are pardoned, and that you have peace, and that you have hope, and that you have the forgiveness, yes, even the forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Peace be with you. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.